The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter number 10, text number 23, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on November 10th, 2007, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter number 10, text number 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vastano mridu katinya, lagur gur vashna shitatam, jagrikshatas tvang nirbina, tas yang roma mahiruha, tatra chantar bahir vatas. Svachar labdha gunovrita. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When there was a desire to perceive the physical characteristics of matter, such as softness, hardness, warmth, cold, lightness, and heaviness, the background of sensation, the skin pores, the hairs on the body, and their controlling deities, the trees, were generated. Within and without, within and outside the skin, is a covering of air through which sense perception became prominent. Purport. The physical characteristics of matter, such as softness, are subjects of sense perception, and thus physical knowledge is the subject matter of the touch sensation. One can measure the temperature of matter by touching with the hand, and one can measure the weight of an object by lifting it with the hand and thus estimate its heaviness or lightness. The skin pores, and the hairs on the body are all interdependent with the touch sensation. The air blowing within and outside the skin is also an object of sense perception. This sense perception is also a source of knowledge, and therefore it is suggested here that physical or physiological knowledge is subordinate to the knowledge of the self, as above mentioned. Knowledge of self can expand to the knowledge of phenomena, but physical knowledge cannot lead to knowledge of the self. There is, however, an intimate relationship between the hairs on the body and the vegetation on the body of the earth. The vegetables are nourishment for the skin as both food and medicine, as stated in the third canto, Tvacham Asha Vinirbhinam Vivashur Jishnam Oshadi. Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, now we have come to the point of the touch sensation. Of course, in our sadhana bhakti practice, especially the touch sensation is there with our japa mala. The perfection of the sense of touch is to touch the japa beads and to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's interesting to note in this verse the words lagu and guru. They are opposite terms. Guru means heavy. And lagu means light. So why is the spiritual master called guru or heavy? He is called heavy because he is heavy with knowledge. He does not bring his own opinion. He brings the full weight of the Vedic wisdom. He does not speculate. He presents the truth as it is. And therefore it is powerful. Sometimes people wonder, well, what edition should Bhagavad Gita should you study? There are hundreds of editions of Bhagavad Gita in many different languages. So which edition should we study? Some people say, well, you should study whichever one moves your heart. But the difficulty with that philosophy is your heart may move in the wrong direction. Actually, in Sanskrit, there's no difficulty understanding which edition to study. Because there's only one edition. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. So when we study a translated edition, which one should we study? We should study that edition which most accurately translates the Sanskrit into our local language. That's all. Which one most accurately translates the Sanskrit into the local language? So how do you know which is the best edition for doing them? Well, for me it was no problem. I studied Sanskrit in the university. In the Department of Asian Studies at the University of Texas. Bhagavad Gita is actually elementary Sanskrit. Bhagavatam is complicated Sanskrit, but Bhagavad Gita is elementary Sanskrit. Even with an elementary knowledge of Sanskrit grammar, you can easily see that this edition is the best edition. Man mana bhavad bhakto majadji mang namaskaru mam eva shashi yukvayvang atmanang mat parayanaha. Krishna says, me, 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 me. Man mana bhavad, again he's saying the word me, 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 me. In the other editions they say, no, not Krishna, not Krishna, not Krishna, not Krishna. But in the Sanskrit, Krishna is saying, yes, Krishna, me, 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 me. So even with a little bit of Sanskrit knowledge, you can immediately see that Bhagavad, this is the only Bhagavad Gita that's worth reading. Because the actual meaning is given, you see. With no distortion. No cheating. The Krishna says one thing and the translator says a different thing. So that person who presents Bhagavad Gita as it is, without tampering with the meaning, he carries with him through his speech the full weight of Krishna. And what is stated about the Lord? He is heavier than the heaviest, isn't it? Krishna is heavier than the heaviest. So, if someone presents Krishna as he is, and that is naturally very, very heavy, so that person who is heavy, you see, he is called in Sanskrit Guru. And those who do not present the Vedic wisdom as it is, they are called Lagu. They are very light. They can be easily blown away by even by a slight gust of wind. It's like if you're driving on the highway and it's a very dangerous storm. If you have a very light car, it can be blown away, blown off the highway by a gust of wind. Hare Krishna. But if you have a... Prabhu, what is your name? Nama Sankirtan. Well, we thank you very much for coming here today. We're happy that you came. Where are you going now?
I'm going to the printery. We're going to print coming back in Greek language. I'm going to the printery here in Sofia. We are going to print coming back.
Oh, you're printing coming back?
Yes.
Right? Book. Will you be here for the festival today?
I will come after 5 o'clock.
All right. We're so happy that you're printing Prabhupada's books. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, the actual, if one has a very light vehicle, you see, then it can be easily blown off the road. But a heavy vehicle, it cannot be budged by a strong gust of wind. So, those persons who are simply mental speculators, they are easily blown off the pathway of self-realization. But those who are heavy with Vedic wisdom, they are never blown off the pathway of self-realization. So if you want to become solidly situated on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead, then you must become heavy. How will you become heavy? Do you know the secret of how to become heavy? Krishna says, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One develops their consciousness according to their association. So, if you associate with the heavy, you become heavy. Simple thing. So, Guru is heavy. So, if we associate with Guru, we become heavy. Solidly situated. So, how do you associate with Guru? There are two ways. Vapu and Vani. Vapu is the physical form of the spiritual master. When you are graced with the opportunity of being in the physical presence of the spiritual master, you must offer your obeisances to him every time you see him. You must wait on him hand and foot to serve his every need. And when you are separated from the spiritual master, he is mercifully present in the form of the instructions that he has given you. If you will carefully follow those instructions, you will never be separated from your spiritual master. As Srila Prabhupada points out in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, it stated there, the spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions, and the disciple lives with him. So, the Guru is immortal. He will never die. And the disciple also will live eternally in immortality with the spiritual master. If he or she simply sticks to the instructions received from the spiritual master. So become heavy by associating with the heavy. And the wind of the modes of nature will not be able to blow you off the pathway. This is our philosophy of Krishna consciousness movement. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes.
Имам два въпроса. Първи, ако човек помни инструкциите на духовния си учител и ги следва, опитва се няколко живота напред и винаги да ги помни. Възможно ли е това?
Someone remembers the instruction of his guru, is it possible to remember them several lives?
Several lifetimes away? What is it?
И да ги следва.
And follow them. To remember them after life.
Yes, yes. Yes, but if you are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you remember Guru's order in this lifetime. And you will go back to Godhead. And even there, you will still remember the orders you receive from your spiritual master. Even when you're in the spiritual world, you will remember the orders you receive from your spiritual master. Of course, you'll have some new assignments there. But you will remember how you got initiated, how you served your spiritual master here in Sofia. You remember those things in the spiritual world. This is not my speculation. Srila Prabhupada has stated this in one letter. So, don't mess up. Do nice service now. Do everything perfectly as far as you're able to do it. Next question. Yeah.
Чухме, че гуру е тежък, но понякога, когато сме служим на гуру, на нас ни става много тежко. И даже изкризваме, защото тази тежест ни е прекалена. И после съжаляваме, затова може би си обяснявам, защото и аз така малкото присъствие тук на хора. Но какво да правим такива случаи, когато служейки на гуру, едва ли не тази тежест ни смазва и ние изкризваме?
We have heard that guru is heavy, but...
Is what?
Is heavy.
Guru heavy, is yes. Heavy.
But what... But sometimes when we serve him, it's very heavy for us.
Serving him is very heavy also?
Yes, and what should we do then?
Pray for his mercy. To help you get through the heavy service. Krishna Ganga is not always easy, you know. Sometimes it's difficult. Those who persevere through the easy times and the difficult times, they become advanced. Those who quit when the going gets rough, you see. Those who give up when it becomes difficult, they remain neophytes. There's a saying in English language. When the going gets tough, you know the word tough means difficult, yes. The tough get going. A tough means those, it also means, tough means difficult, it also means strong. It has two meanings. Has a dual meaning. The word tough means difficult, it also means strong. So, it means someone who is strong, you see. He's tough. See, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So whenever you face difficulties in your service, don't become bewildered and give up your service. Take it as an opportunity to become more, to take more shelter of Guru and Krishna and become more strong in Krishna consciousness. Anyone who follows this principle will quickly become a very, very fixed up and advanced devotee. The key is you have to persevere even when it seems impossible to do so. In the Chinese wisdom, it is also stated in this connection, Chinese wisdom. It's very in a very sutra-like way, in two words it is stated in Chinese wisdom. Perseverance furthers. You know what that means? You know what that means? Perseverance furthers. Further means is a verb. But perseverance furthers means it means you will advance very much if you can always remain steady in your service. You will make very solid advancement. And the time you'll make the most advancement is this. The time you will make the most advancement is this. When you don't want to do the service, still you do it because of your intelligence. You do it in spite of your mind saying no, the intelligence says yes. Every time you can conquer your mind by your intelligence, you've made a lot of advancement in Krishna consciousness. And if you keep doing that, if you keep subduing your mind with your intelligence, your mind will finally get the message and stop being a naughty little child. The mind will become a mature adult. Any more questions? Yes.
How we love Krishna when we pick up our hands.
When we raise our hands?
Yes, when we raise our hands.
Yes, raising your hands is a sign of surrender. Just like when they fight a war, sometimes the enemy will surrender and they say, we don't want to fight anymore, we will surrender. So they come out from hiding with their hands in the air. They want to show they have no weapons, so don't shoot me. So raising your hands in the air is a sign of surrender. So when you raise your arms to Krishna, you're showing, my dear Krishna, I now surrender unto you. And it is also a sign of ecstasy. One poet has written a song, yes, to dance beneath the sky with my arms waving free. It is a sign of to dance beneath the sky with my arms waving free. It is a sign of ecstasy, of joy. If one is joyous, they raise their hands and they sing and dance. If they're feeling very, very, very happy, they raise their arms and they sing and dance. So in this way, we do not raise our hands like dancing dogs. We raise our hands in ecstasy. Next question. So everyone is now satisfied. Everyone is now solidly situated on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Okay. What is the point? Speak up. They're so properly situated they don't need to hear class. Actually, it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta praeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. That by regularly attending classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the spiritual master, all that is inauspicious within the heart becomes destroyed almost anew. And thus loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental hymns, who is praised with transcendental hymns, becomes established as an irrevocable fact. So, Bhagavatam says you must study every day Bhagavatam. So, especially my disciples, but actually all devotees, but I can order my disciples. As far as possible, rise every day by 4 a.m. Take your bath, put on tilak. Sing the Gavastakam prayers, offer a little arti. Chant your japa. Study the Bhagavatam. And then take your breakfast and begin your work day. Because this regularly hearing the Bhagavatam is very important thing. One is meant to every day study Bhagavatam. Any other points or questions? Yeah.
In this verse, in the Bhagavatam, why is it that inauspicious things are destroyed almost in here, not everything?
Yes, why? Yes. So note the two halves of a sentence. The first thing is, all that is inauspicious becomes destroyed almost to nil. That's the first point. And then it states, and thus loving service is established as an irrevocable fact. So almost to nil, that means you've come to sattva guna. And then from sattva guna, then you go to shuddha sattva, pure bhakti. That verse discusses both aspects. That first you come to sattva guna, and then from there you move on to pure bhakti. So do not think that simply by coming to the point where it is almost destroyed, that you have achieved the goal. You have not achieved the goal until loving service under the Transcendental Lord is fully established. At that point, the inauspicities are not destroyed almost in now. At that point, they are completely wiped out. So that is the stage that you must come to. Ahaitaki bhakti. You have been named the servant of Ahaitaki Bhakti. So now you must come to that point. If you simply follow this verse, you will come to the point of being the true servant of Ahaitaki Bhakti. You must always hear Bhagavatam as much as possible. And you must 24 hours a day remember the orders of your spiritual master and serve them faithfully. By this solid fixity in serving your spiritual master and hearing Bhagavatam, you will actually achieve the position Haitaki Bhakti. Any other questions? Yes.
She has heard that in material body soul cannot be fully purified, and this purification becomes in the moment of death.
Who said that?
She has heard this in a lecture of the Bhakti.
It's not true. Even while you're present within this body, you can become completely pure devotee. I have proof. Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just qualify yourself. He told me, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. I was, before I joined this movement, I was a songwriter. So I was thinking about writing songs, Krishna conscious songs. Srila Prabhupada was giving me advice on how I could write songs that would be on the same level as the songs of Bhaktivinoda and Narottam Das Thakur. He told me to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. And then I could write songs on the same level as Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he was talking about something that I would do while I was in this body. Prabhupada was a pure devotee. He was in his material body. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was a pure devotee. He was in a material body. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a pure devotee. He was in a material body. Jagannath Das Babaji, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they were in material bodies. And they were pure devotees. So why would somebody think that as long as you have a material body, you can't become a pure devotee? It's completely bogus concept. I'm shocked that somebody would say that in a class. They don't know what they're talking about.
He has heard this regarding this verse. Someone made explanation on this verse and
what verse? This. What verse?
In the same verse, this verse.
The one we're studying today?
Yes.
No.
The verse about Haikuki Bhakti.
Oh, okay. It's not true. You can become a completely pure devotee within this body. So pure that Krishna will personally reveal himself to you. Any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here. Jantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.